Hey, how are you?
Hi, James.
Not too bad. Hi.
This is Chick Morgan.
Chick?
Dr. Chick
well,
Morgan.
Yes, Dr. Chick Morgan. But my friends, I'm just Chick. If you irritate me, I make you call me Dr. Morgan. But other than that, you're good so far.
So we'll just stop now.
Uh-huh. Thanks for listening, folks. Oh, we have way too much fun, as you can imagine.
Excellent, all the time.
So what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, well, I'm actually putting my head in the sand today because of the election. I voted, man. I did my part, and it's out of my hands.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I did my part, and I'm just backing away now.
Yeah.
I don't need to stress over that, and, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing.
It's not going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any final thing going on tonight anyway, so.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember as a little kid, because I'm way older than you and Rodney, but my first election, I remember in San Antonio, and I'm laying on the floor, on a towel floor in my stomach with this big black and white box, watching them post the numbers, these guys in white shirts on ladders, posting the numbers in chalk for, God, was it Eisenhower? And I thought, even then I loved it. I was so curious. Might not be a bad system to return to.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to do just a little intro, and then Rodney's going to get us into the conversation. And the way we like to do this, we want to talk a little bit about who you are and where you are and kind of how you got into the shark and the scuba diving, I wouldn't say business, I don't like to call it a business, but that world that you love. And then at some point, we'd love to hear this epic story, which I love listening to. And I have the book, of course, you know, the child's book, autographed even. And then we'll just take it from there.
How'd you get an autographed copy?
I paid a little bit extra for it on Amazon.
Oh, from the author.
Yes.
Yeah. Not from me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, not from you. Well, now that you mention it, I'm going to ship it out to you. Yeah, good idea. See, we've already gotten something out of him. You know, this is good. We never know with our guests.
There was a fee involved, right?
He hasn't agreed yet. So.
Well, you reflected very well in the story, so I bet you'd be happy to.
Yeah, that was fun. So,
hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Passports, Please. Conversations about the power of place, the places that change us, and why it matters. I am your co-host, Dr. Chick Morgan, the Cowgirl PhD Diva, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr.
Rodney Bersiel,
the photographer in chief. And we are having another exciting conversation, another episode. And Rodney, you know, we just have too much fun. Someday, somebody's going to find out about all of this and shut us down. I think the fact they're also adding some good to the world might prolong our stay a little bit. But Rodney, tell us about our guest today, who we have this morning.
Well, we've got a good friend of mine, James Mosquito. We met 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Oh man, at least 5 years ago.
Yeah. We'll keep it at that so it doesn't feel like it's but yeah, I was just getting back into scuba. You know, I'd gotten out of the industry for 20 plus years when my dad sold his business. And real long story short, I was researching. I'd never been shark diving and wanted to go see the big sharks. And just calling around and research and ran into James. And
oh, wait, let's back up a little bit, Rodney. You researched shark diving. Where does one begin? We don't have the Encyclopedia Britannica anymore.
Well, I think I started on Facebook, actually.
Shark diving.
I think I just
hashtag
put a,
sharks.
No, I think I just put a blurb out there, you know, just, hey, who's been shark diving?
Wow.
And
you don't vet your sources very well, do you?
So, but yeah, it was that simple. And I started digging around and, yeah, like I said, long story short, found James and we went to Guadalupe and dove with the great whites. And since then, we've been to the Socorros and dove with the orcas and the humpbacks. And we've been to Isla Mujeres with the whale sharks. And I think that's it.
What was it about James? I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that came up on your search. What was it about James?
Honestly, I don't remember. Obviously, I didn't know anything about him.
This is where we talk about you, James. Yeah, and then we get to talk with you in a few minutes.
This is where you're like, oh, I know who he was. Some bum on the internet.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I think it was just talking to other divers. He, you know, he was one of the names that kept coming up. And so that's... That's all I really remember. But we met and I loved hanging out with him and we had a great time. And so we keep going at it. So
how do you remember this story, James?
Yeah, what's your version?
Well, you know, most people find us from the normal stuff. You know, the Google search drives is putting in ocean safaris or shark diving. Which you can find me on Facebook also, you know, shark diving. At that time, 5 years ago, we were doing Farallones here in California for great whites. And then we were doing Guadalupe, Mexico for great whites. And we've been doing it for 20 years. So we're the established, pretty much at one time, we were saying, hey, we're the number one shark diving operator in the northern hemisphere. Because we were going everywhere. So it was a fun time. And COVID changed all that. But still having this great, we're ready to catch the next wave and do some new fun stuff.
So you've always specialized in sharks then?
Yeah. So I've always loved sharks. And for the last 20 years, 21 years, been hanging out with sharks professionally, diving with them, chasing them, taking people to see them. Been kind of focusing on the big animals, the great whites, the tiger sharks, the hammerheads, and the whale sharks. But, you know, I'll go see anything. Mother Nature's wild. And, you know, me and Rodney had an experience where it was just an unbelievable thing of what Mother Nature can be and what she can do. And it's why it's not all pretty. It's the brutal truth of Mother Nature is pretty unique. We had a great encounter with humpback whales and orcas, which you don't hear about all the time.
The thing that was crazy about that was, you know, I grew up diving with my dad. You know, that was back in the day when we were just doing Caribbean diving, reef diving, Cayman Islands, and, you know, angelfish and sea anemones and that kind of thing. And I guess I just
beautiful
got
creatures.
Yeah. Aww. And I just got bored. And I, you know, we never saw the big stuff. And like I said, I hadn't been diving in 20 plus years. And my first time back in the water was the great whites. But that's, you know, it's cage diving and it's actually pretty simple. You know, you're in a cage. You're not dealing with the elements and the currents and all that kind of thing.
I hope our listeners are picking this up. Simple cage diving with great whites.
Yeah, cage diving
really
with great
relative.
Whites. Yeah, cage diving with great whites is actually very easy.
It is one of
the great white, I'm sure. It is.
Because it's like the reverse zoo, right? You go into the zoo and see the animals in the cages. The sharks come to us and see the animals in the cages, and we're in the cages going, ooh, 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 there's a great white. Yeah. And we're acting like a bunch of monkeys and pointing them out.
And we are.
We're literally, you know, pointing them out and going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. And it is so easy. Anybody could do it. You don't even have to be dive certified, no experience. So many times, the first time people have come with me, and the very first time they put their face into the ocean, they see a great white. Those kind of unique experiences change people's lives for the better. I mean, they go home, they come out there thinking like, oh yeah, it's going to be the jaws and it's going to, you know, it's going to hit the cage. It's going to ram it. And it's totally not true. The sensational media of the movies, but the reality is that these are just beautiful, gorgeous animals. And we were privileged to watch them swim in their natural world.
Are they disappointed that they don't get the, you know, the rah-rah Hollywood version?
No.
At first, some people are like, oh, man, you know, I wanted the cage so close. I'm always telling them, oh, be careful what you wish for. And then they start to see, you know, that each shark has its own personality. And they really, you get to spend such good quality time with these animals. You can see each shark has a personality and has an attitude, and some are crazy, some are lazy, so it's just a great time. And people go home with an experience that they may not have came with, but it's a better experience. And they come back year after year. Everybody says, oh, yeah, this is my bucket list. I'm going to go one time. I'm going to check it off and I'll be done. Mm-hmm. You know, always something I want to do. And then next year they're back.
Wow, that was my question. Guests. Yeah.
I have 30 customers that have gone every year since 2001.
Yeah, that was a comment I was getting ready to make. I was one of those. I was like, I want to, how exciting could it be to sit in the cage and just watch sharks swim around? I was like, I've got to do it once and probably won't do it again. And I've been 4 times now, I think. And
So what brings you back, Rodney?
It's every,
I mean, a shark's
every
a shark, right?
Time is different. And like James saying, every shark's got a different personality. You know, the out there, the what's the season out? It starts what, in August?
Yeah, we start in August and end in November.
Yeah, and when I think it's the males start to arrive first, and they're smaller, but they're, I don't want to, you
they're
know,
feisty like, little guys.
Yeah, man. They've got more energy
they're little
them.
Boys in a playground fighting each other without mom being around.
Yeah, and then
they bite and nip.
Yeah, and then the females show up and they're a little more laid back, but they're the bigger ones. So it depends on what time of the season you go and what sharks are actually showing up, because it's the same shark. You see the same ones over and over, and it's like, oh, Zapata's here.
Yeah,
There are distinguishing character. I'm not as good at it. You know, James is probably much better because he's been doing it longer than I have. But yeah,
we have 328 photo ID'd individuals at Guadalupe that show up between the end of July and December 1st. So that's one of the largest catalogs of great whites in the world. That is ongoing, has been going on for since 2001. We've been going through our photographs and IDing these animals, and they're very unique, and they can be ID'd for pretty much forever. And it's
Do you give them names?
Yeah.
Oh, here comes George.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite sharks is a shark named Zapata. Comes by every year, and he's a frisky guy. He's a big male. He's about 15 feet. And the way he likes to make his entrance, that he'll just come blasting out of the water and jump out of the water 10 feet away from the boat and say, hey, here I am. And he's a great, great, great showstopper there. So,
well, have you ever had either one of you, have you ever had any close calls, however each of you would like to define that, during some of these exhibitions?
No, I wouldn't have what you would call a close call. I mean, we've had close encounters. They come right up to the cage, and sometimes, you know, they'll gnaw on it.
And they say, "Oh, there's Rodney. Oh, there's James."
you get those. You're inches away from these things sometimes, and it just, it's amazing.
Yeah, as far as my personal experiences with large animals, I mean, I've had, for the most part, they've all been positive. You know, what people call close encounters, I call very comforted and in love, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I have all my fingers on my toes, never had an accident. And, you know, I've had more accidents with due to people. I'm swimming around with people than the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So the human interaction has always been the most dangerous for me.
Yeah. Sad tale that, isn't it? So what have you been doing during this COVID break? I guess you're still able to do some diving, aren't you?
I really got hit hard. This Guadalupe season for 2020 was shut down by the Mexican government. The border crossing was closed. Baja, northern Baja, is kind of having a hard time with COVID there. So that whole season, which is the majority of my business, got shut down. I had other trips to other destinations. And I do most of my trips internationally, Mexico, Bahamas, Fiji, and Philippines. And that just all went away.
I didn't know you did Philippines. What is that?
Yeah, so... went to Landis Resort and hooked up with them, and we're doing some whale sharks out there and going to do some threshers. So,
and oh, that would some be
reef,
cool. Yeah.
Some reef diving. So it's one of the few places in the world you can dive with threshers. So, and these
and,
are just,
and what, what's a thresher?
A thresher shark is just, it's a thresher shark, and it's very unique because it has the its rear tail is almost as long as the body. So a 7-foot shark will have a, like a 7-foot tail, and they're just gorgeous. Hmm. They're just super silky.
I haven't seen those yet. I need to get on that trip too.
We'll need your passport, please.
You know, exactly.
Nice
my,
plug.
My fear is once everything travel opens up again, this will be a single host podcast.
Yeah.
Rodney will be back in the waters and off to his adventures, which all of his fans are desperate for him to do.
We'll do that. With the Wi-Fi that's on the boats and the good and the land is literally the dive site's 50 yards off the beach with high speed Wi-Fi, we could put a mic on you underwater and you can talk the whole time underwater.
That would be cool. Do I get one of those the bell helmets and
put one on Zapata too? We'll have it. Oh, wait a minute, that's the whales that talk. Do sharks talk?
Not communicate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know,
I talk to them. They don't talk to me.
So you have a long history, successful business history, and just a personal love of being with these huge, beautiful creatures, and how much you love them comes through with every word. And yet, when you came to my attention was when Rodney told me this story about you that involved a whale. And he's telling the story when I'm going to get your version, because I always have to get a second resource, you know, when Rodney tells me anything. But what an astonishing story. And I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind just taking it from the top, because first of all, here you are, you're talking about sharks. Sharks are your business. You're doing all this. But lo and behold, you got significantly involved in the story of a whale. So where were you? How did this happen? Take us along on that journey.
Yeah, so it was a while ago. It was in 2005. We just finished our Farallon Great White Shark diving season, and I was relaxing. I was heading to my parents' house on the way out, and then I got a call from my captain.
Oh, wait, where are you? You were in what part of the world?
I'm in San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
And he's all like, hey, there's this whale that needs to be rescued. It's caught up. It's entangled in crab trap buoys. And if anybody's been to San Francisco, they know that the Dungeness crab here, San Francisco is known for its Dungeness crab and sourdough. So there's a lot of crab traps outside San Francisco in the ocean. And so we're like, yeah, let's go. So we got permission from everybody. NOAA, the Sanctuary Fishing Game, State of California, and we picked up a crew, me and three other divers, Holly, my girlfriend, this topside support, the boat captain, and a few other people from the Marine Mammal Center rescue.
How much had you worked with whales before then?
I swam with them before. I swam with both gray whales and humpbacks briefly, just on weird encounters, but I've never really worked with a whale, especially the way I do now, because I take people on whale watching trips now. So you know, this is what made this encounter just so unique. So the location of the whale was 17 miles off the coast of San Francisco from the Golden Gate.
And how long does that take you to get out there?
We got the message where the whale was located at 8 o'clock. No one had seen it until we got there, and it was roughly about noon. It takes 2 hours to get out there. So I mean, and we're kind of doing circles around looking for this whale for a little while, but we found it. And when I say find a whale, it's not like, you know, there it is. It literally, we had rolling waves, swell.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that you found it.
Yeah, you're talking, you know, you're 17 miles offshore. It's not like the beach. It's not flat calm. This is Northern California. The water's green. It's dark. It when you put your face in the water, it's like putting your face inside a cup of coffee. You can't see anything. The water's just dark. And so in the distance, we saw the whale blow as it breathes out, just a slight little puff. And then we saw the crab trap buoys, which are about the size of a large shoe that are white with some numbers on them, floating around the whale. And when we came up, there were like 10 of these crab trap buoys, which marked the crab trap locations, attached to the whale. And we're thinking like, okay, well, you know, this is like a 45-foot whale, and you have little buoys that are attached to it, but it should be okay. Upon further inspection, another diver, Tim, we got into a smaller little Zodiac and went next closest to the whale, and we couldn't see. The Marine Mammal Center, their rescue team brought these long painter poles with hooks, knives on them, to try to grab the ropes. But from the surface, we couldn't see any ropes. And you look down into the water, you couldn't see more than a few inches into the water because it was just, like I said, green, dark water, like coffee. So they came back, well, we can't do anything. So, you know, me and Tim looked at each other and go, well, we're divers. We're going in the water. And at that time, and still is, there's a little NOAA rule. Marine Mammal Protection Act says, thou shall not go in the water with whales. in the United States. So we're all like, well,
watch me.
Well, why is that? Is that for the safety of the whales, or?
It's for the safety of the whales. It's for, so they're not harassed by people. It's also for the safety of people, because as I'll tell you, as we got into the water, you know, okay, I got dropped off the boat 100 feet away from the whale, and I'm looking above the waves, and I see the whale in the distance. And I start swimming, going like, I can't even see my hand when I put it in my hand, or I can't even see my feet into the water. Just the visibility is that bad. And I'm swimming towards the whale, and I'm getting a little closer. Okay, 40 feet. All right. So let's swim a little closer. Okay, 30 feet. Okay, the whale's 30 feet away from me. Put my head down in the water, and I can't see nothing. Swim a little closer. Okay, 25 feet. I'm getting a little closer. Swim a little closer. Okay, put my head above the water. I, okay, 20 feet. I put my head down the water. Next thing I know, I see this pectoral fin. Mm-hmm. And the pectoral fin of a humpback whale is like an airplane wing. It's about
15, wow.
It's like 15 feet long, 4 feet wide, and about 4 tons. So it comes above the water about 8 feet above my head, and then it starts crashing down. I'm going, oh, this is going to hurt. And the whale just put out his pectoral fin and slammed it into the water next to my head, literally inches away. And I was going, okay, well, all right, I'm going to hang out here. And they're like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I said, let's just wait and see what happens. So I waited. 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes went by, and I'm looking at the whale, and it's, you know, and it's not, and I can see its pectoral fin moving back and forth still. And then finally, about 15 minutes later, I told Tim, who was behind me by about 15 feet, and then behind him was the Zodiac, and behind him was our 56-foot boat that brought us out there. I said, okay, I'm going for it. And when I told him that, the whale came up, put its eye above the surface, and looked at me. And it was held itself there. And I was like, okay, here we go. And so I swam up to the whale, you know, the 45, it's like swimming up to a bus. And I put my hand, I swim up to its eye, and I put my hand right next to its eye, and I start petting her, and I'm talking to the whale. It's not talking to me. I'm going, it's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. Don't kill me. And you know, the whole time there, at that point, I realized just how entangled this whale was.
Yeah, where was all the netting? Was it just, I mean, everywhere, or?
Yeah, so it's not netting. So the crab traps
are the traps. I mean,
yeah. So crab traps, they're about 100 pounds. They're about commercial crab traps, about 4 feet in diameter and about 18 inches high. They weigh about 100 pounds, and they're attached with where we fish out here by San Francisco. They're attached with 240 feet of line, because we're in 180 feet of water, attached with 240 feet of line that goes to the surface, and that is suspended by the crab buoy. So that's what we saw. We saw the crab buoys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lines, as I got close, were, you know, it's like swimming in spaghetti. There's just so many lines slack there.
Really?
But the lines were actually cut into the whale.
So it had been entangled for a while.
Yeah. When the guys saw it, the crab traps were clean the day before, but because they pulled all the crab from them. But for the last 24 hours, that whale could have been entangled. So the ropes were 2-3 inches into the blubber. It went around its head, through its vigorates, through its mouth, around its pectoral fins and down. And then later on, we realized it was all the way down to the tail. So it was literally a 45-foot humpback whale hogtied in the ocean, drowning by 2,000 pounds of crab traps. So the whale didn't move at that point, but I told him, come on over. And, you know, we're both going at this animal, and it's looking at us, and the eyes the size of a grapefruit, and looking back and forth, and just going, it's a very humbling experience seeing an animal recognize you that it's that big. It's just a very humbling, special moment. And then the whale just settled down, and she didn't move from there. So we went back and back to the boat. We had two other divers there, and they're like, well, what do you think? I'm like, well, man, it's like, I told them, it's like swimming in spaghetti. There's so many ropes there. They're going around my neck. They're going around my fins. They're dragging me down, constantly keep aware of taking these ropes off me. And they're like, what do you think? I said, well, truthfully, I think we're looking at a dead whale. The whale just doesn't know it yet. I mean, it's so entangled. There's no way we're going to be able to get all these ropes off. And then one of the lead person from the Marine Mammal Center said, okay, let's go. I'm like, oh, no. I said, we probably won't, but we're going to try. And everybody's like, okay, let's do this. So me and Tim were on scuba, on dive gear with tanks. And then the two other guys were just snorkeling. And the four of us went out there. And I swam up to the whale first again. And I brought them one along and introduced the whale. Well, this is Jason. Well, this is Tim. You know, you guys come on over. Okay. And the whale just settled down. And then we all just started cutting. Just grabbing ropes, cutting them, sinking them, cutting, grabbing the more ropes. It took four of us in the water 2.5 hours to clear. We estimated over a mile and a half of line of rope. The rope is known as blue steel because it's Kevlar based rope. So it took us two and a half hours. Yeah,
not easy to cut through.
Not easy. And at some point, like I said, the rope was inside the blubber. A few times I was actually having to stab the whale and hit the back of my knife into the blubber and then pull back sawing to get the rope cut away from the whale.
Was there any point during particularly things like that where you felt her resisting or pushing back on you or?
No, she would come up and breathe every minute. And even the breathe was very late. You could tell it was very labored. It was so it was a very labored breath because she's being pulled down by these traps, but she didn't move. She would flinch a few times when I had to put my knife into her. But one of the moments I'll never forget is I'm down 20 feet under the whale next to the tail. And the ropes there are literally 10 inches thick because they've just all gathered there. And I look down below that, 20 feet below that. I can now finally see like, okay, there's the 2,000 pounds of crab traps that are all tied up right there. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I need to cut this loose. I'm cutting and you cut one line and then things would go and the ropes would get tight. And it was a really scary moment because I'm just thinking like, man, if I get one of these ropes gets tight and I get pinned against this whale. Yeah,
exactly. You know, that's scary.
For 2.5 hours, everybody's mind was going through, okay, the whale starts to move. I need to be clear of these lines. Otherwise, I'm never going to get loose. You know, I went like a Mexican to a knife fight. I had like five knives on me. So I could cut loose and scissors and everything else, ENT shears. But I finally cut that last line loose at the tail, and you can see her just fully extend her tail and come up, and you can hear her take a deep breath, and I come up, woohoo, yeah, we got it. You know, I got all the lines off. The guys are like, oh, yeah, we got all those ones except for the mouth. And I remember Jason, there's a rope sticking out of the mouth, and we were pulling them all, and he has his knee against the whale's mouth, and he's trying to pull on this rope, and he can't get it, and he's pushing up on the whale's lip, and he can't get it, and then finally the whale all four of us are there, finally the whale's mouth opens up, all four of us are there, and he just pulls the rope out of the mouth, and the whale keeps his mouth open, he's like, oh, there's another one in there, so he puts his hand inside the whale's mouth, and pulls that one out. Oh, look, there's another one in there. And next thing I know, Jason's leaning in. His shoulder is all the way inside the whale's mouth, pulling the last piece of rope out.
Man.
Oh, and it was just amazing time. And at that point, the whale realized, like, okay, hey, you know, you can see her start moving around, like, okay, hey, you know, there's nothing on me. And she starts moving really slowly, and she's like stretching, and then slowly, very gently, she starts swimming away, and then she starts circling us, and we're all spread out, giving her some room, and she starts doing figure eights around us and around the boat.
What did you think at that point that she's circling you? Was that a little intimidating or?
No, I mean, it was just great because I was watching her being free and swim around. And he's like, okay, yeah, you know, sure, her tail is still okay. She's using her tail. So, you know, she's great. She's going. And then she dove down and I'm looking around like, okay, you know, she was swimming by at 3-4 miles per hour, you know, swimming by us very close. And as well as she swim by, she would just glide by us and then kick when we're not around. And just seeing that, we're just like, you know, high-fiving each other going, oh my God, this is great. And they're like, oh, and the whale dropped down. I'm like, okay, where'd she go? And, you know, I'm just thinking like, I'm putting my face in the water going, oh, I don't see nothing. I don't see anything. And, you know, and looking around. And I look down again under the water and by my feet, I see this whale. It's a tenth of a second type of stuff. I see this whale coming up out of the deep under my fins and just going, oh my God, it's coming straight up. And I'm just going, oh, and I'm like, I'm backing up, swimming as fast as I can backwards. And next thing I know, the whale is up at my chest and she stops 6 inches away from my chest. And then she nudges me forward using her nose. And wow. She backs up, nudges me again, so ever gently, and again, and again. And then she backs up, and she swims, and she puts her eye right towards me. She looks at me. She's rolled on her side, so her eye's out of the water, and she's there inches away, and she's looking into me, right, you know, eye to eye. And then she goes to Tim and Jason and the other guys, and she does that. She nudges all of us. It got to the point where, like, come over here. You know, I'm slapping the whale. Like,
she went to each of you individually?
Each of us individually, not just around. And we were, like, you know, 50, 70 feet apart from each other. And she came back and nudged me again and, like, you know, ever so gently. I mean, this is like if you're a dog owner or you've gone to someone who has a dog and the dog puts their nose underneath your hand, like, hey, I want to be petted. That's what it felt like. It's like, hey, I'm here. I want some more loving. Or, you know, I'm here. Here I am. And she would push us around. I got pushed around 3 times, nudgingly pushed.
So how long did she stay with you doing that after you had gotten
At that point, my boat captain got pissed off. He's like, okay, you guys in Kumbaya, you need to get on the boat because I'm getting jealous or otherwise you're going to swim back home.
That's so petty. I mean, here is this incredible, you know, mystical moment, interspecies moment. And yeah, I think it was jealousy. Well,
yeah. Yeah, no, he was very upset because he wanted to be in the water.
Yeah.
You know, and the conditions we were in required somebody, especially with a wild animal like that, we were very uncertain what was going to happen. We needed the most experienced person at the helm. Because if things went sideways, I knew that he could bring the boat up, get me out of the water in seconds because he's that good, you know.
So, James, what do you make? You had the immediate electricity of the moment. I can't imagine how long that just left you vibrating. Okay. But now you've had quite a bit of time to think about this and reflect on this story. What do you make of all that? What do you think was happening?
I think the whale was telling us in its own way, thank you. You know, and everybody who's on the boat and everybody who's in the water felt the same way, that this whale is coming and saying thank you. And, you know, I've had people tell me that, you know, whales don't have personalities. These animals don't have personalities. They don't have feelings and they can't feel pain.
They haven't been eye to eye with one.
It's because, and then they come to me. I had one doctor tell me that, and I was like, he came to me next to me with his Labrador, his dog, which was a Labrador Retriever. I'm like, and your dog doesn't, you can't tell? I mean, your dog doesn't have pain? Oh, that's different. I'm like, what kind of owner? You can't tell. He goes, oh, I can tell my dog when he's sad. I can tell when my dog's happy. You know, me and my dog have this bond. I'm like, yeah, because this is something you've been used to. You've been custom. So I live in the underwater world. I've been, 5,000, 7,000 hours underwater. Been diving since I'm way old now for, 35 years. I've been diving since, I've been 19. Just to be able to see and be underwater and have the experiences of these animals and recognize them for what they are, that, these are not mindless animals. And yes, they do feel pain. They have personalities. Sometimes I think they just jump out of the water for fun. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
people ask me, why are whales jump out of the water?
Yeah, because they want. Can? Yeah, because they want to.
Yeah.
Well, so, you've talked about the controversy about animals feeling pain, which I think is a ridiculous controversy. And it seems like what you're describing is gratitude. It's an emotion. I would imagine you get some pushback about that, this interspecies emotional exchange. But how many other people do you know have had an experience like that, that you can compare experiences?
Well, I know several people, some of the panga drivers, the boat drivers in Mexico, that get to see, take people out to see the gray whales in Mag Bay and Saginaw Bay, that when these whales, they give birth to their young in these bays, and these guys have been out there for 20 years taking people out to see these whales, and the whales will come to them and stick their heads out of the water to be petted by the tourists on the boats. And you'll tell up and down, they'll swear like, oh yeah, if I just sing and this one whale comes to me. And, and it's been documented that these guys, they get on their different boats. They get on different boats and they go out with people, other people on different boats, and they sing. Or once the whale sees them, they have a special interaction that they recognize that particular individual and will come up for to be petted.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good friend, Jim Abernathy, who dives with tiger sharks in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I've been out with Jim.
Yeah, and him and Emma. Emma is a 15-foot tiger shark.
Oh, I thought it was, I thought it was his diving partner there.
It is his diving partner.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry.
Emma will seek him out and literally lay down next to him and to be petted. They have she recognized him. This is the same as our guys in Fiji, Russo. There's tiger sharks in Fiji. They're like, oh, well, because you're hand feeding these animals, they recognize you and they want scraps. So you go down there with no food. The shark comes up and rolls on his tummy, rolls on his back to be petted, to be scratched on the tummy. So there are intelligent animals that do recognize the same people. We've tested this several times, different wetsuits, coming on different boats, diving in different wetsuits, diving with different gear so you look differently. We used to wear an orange hood. We put him in a black hood, same thing. As soon as the shark recognized him, I'm not sure if it was just visually or by scent.
There's so much that we don't know. I mean, it could be electrical impulses we're putting off that they recognize.
Yeah. That's our signature, right? Mm-hmm. Our heartbeat or whatever. But so those people who spend time in the water will tell you that they've had these emotional, they've seen the stuff. And while, a lot of it could be projected from us to them, like, hey, we want to make this feeling, we want to have this feeling, and I'm having this feeling, so this animal must be having this feeling also. I'm assuming that does happen, but when you establish a long-term bond or a life-changing moment, like with this whale, that whale was, knew it was trapped. It knew it was drowning. And then it knew that we cut it loose. So
how have these experiences, not just your whale, as I like to think of her, but these other experiences of human and ocean life contact, how have these experiences changed your work that you do when you're taking people whale watching and on excursions? And what are you doing differently because of your own personal contact?
Well, I really like to see that my guests are not just shown an animal. I want them to learn about the animal so much where they go home with a just awe-inspired feeling that they want to help and help conservation. I've had so many of my guests go on these shark dives, and next thing you know, they're running the local chapter of Shark Safe and
in Indiana.
And that's the best possible outcome, isn't it? To get that kind of engagement.
All these shark fin bills are from past people who went on shark diving trips. They've put their money where their mouth is. They love these animals, and they go out and they spread the word about conservation and how it's more than just us. It's it's the whole environment, and we try to complete the circle there. We need these animals.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've tried to, my observation is, like, when you go to Bimini and you go out of, you go out of the port there, and there's 50, deep sea fishing boats with, 20 rods sticking off the back of it, and then there's our one dive boat. And you just want to go up to these guys and go, come get in the water with them. And I guarantee you change their perception of, just going out and, catching a shark, for the photo op, really. I would love to get some of these guys in the water and let it, like we're talking, they don't see them as having personalities or feeling pain. And because as a kid, that's all, that's what I heard. It's like, oh, it doesn't hurt the fish. They can't feel anything.
Yeah.
And I grew up thinking that. And then, when I'm diving, I'm seeing these personalities and everything. And, they do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been places in the world. We're just in, Solomon Islands, where the locals had no idea what underwater was. What was underwater? I mean, they have the most lush, beautiful coral reefs there. They're just beaming with life, and they have no idea. So, a friend of mine, she has really shown so many people. She takes the chief's daughter and the chief scuba diving. She taught them how to scuba dive from these local tribes to show them what's underwater. She's taken the council members of the island to underwater to show them, hey, this is yours. This is what you inherited from your parents and your grandparents. And, you should have a say at what happens underwater. And you're letting this, these loggers destroy this because the runoff of the logging that's happening upstream. So, they're taking ownership. People, unless you see it, unless you know about it, you can't love it. It's just a thing, Mm-hmm. People go to the grocery store and like, let me grab a can of tuna. It has dolphin in it, you got to understand what's going on in the bigger world and see these things for what they are. And it's very difficult without actually, experiencing, the experience firsthand.
So given all of that and all of the amazing things that you've accomplished and already been a catalyst for, what's still on your list of things that you want to do, just personal pleasure, and also to affect?
Well, I, top of my list, you know, we talk about travel here, passports, please. You know, my go-to thing, I want to go to Antarctica. Yes. I want to swim under the ice. And I want to swim with orcas in Antarctica.
Under
I want to swim
ice?
With killer whales. Under the
isn't
ice.
Isn't that kind of claustrophobic or, you know?
Nah.
That's just me. Oh, wait, that's my fear. Okay, that's nothing to do with you, James. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that's number one on my list. But yeah, I want to, I've been chasing orcas for almost as long as I've been chasing sharks, and seeing the killer whales in their natural environment, it's just mind-blowing.
Have you done Norway?
No, I have not done Norway.
Yeah, we got to get that one in.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's better places. Norway in January.
Well, hell, they're in Mexico now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just had a
are
nice...
Are they supposed to be?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here in Monterey, they just had a some killer whales, transient killer whales. They had a great day on the water. The killer whales were feeding on seals and sea lions all day long.
Just recently?
2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's
so do I need to make a road trip?
May, got to come here in May. April, May. And this is that's when the orcas are really really here, cuz they hunt the gray whales when they're migrating back up. But yeah, so that's what I want to do. I want to continue journey, travel and experience more stuff. I got my the big five for the sharks, Donnan, but there's a second list of sharks I want to see. Some deeper water species. I've chased the sharks, you know, I've been down to 1500 feet in subs to go see a shark. So I've gone to great lengths to see some unique species, and I'd really like to continue that. Hopefully this COVID allows that again soon.
Well, I have a final question, and then I'll see if Rodney has some more.
Maybe. Is it the same one?
I don't know. I could ask it first, just in case. Have you ever seen your whale again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did want it. That wasn't mine. But
okay,
but
you like that?
But I did.
You wanted to know anyway, didn't you? Well, see, that's why we're such good co-hosts. It just reads my mind, vice versa.
Yeah, so the whale was named Lucky.
Oh.
She's a female, about 45 feet long. And unfortunately, we did not get a photograph of her tail, which would ID her. So she has never been documented and seen again. If you go to a website called happywhale.com and you punch in my name, James Mosquito, you'll see that I have, I don't know, 300... whales in my list there that I have photo ID'd. And people from all over the world have photo ID'd these whales, but unfortunately for Lucky, we never got her photo.
Is that because the tails are a specific marker?
Yeah, on humpback whales, the bottom of the tail, you'll see there's typically a white pigmentation patch, either completely all white, or typically it's a black and white and very unique. That is like their fingerprint. So these whales can be ID'd for life just by using the bottom of the tail, which is great because when the tails go down, when the whales go down, the tails come up and you take a nice little picture and you get the ID of the whale.
Well, I hope she sees you again at some point and then we can get a sequel to this story because it's really a beautiful story. All right, Rodney, what was your final question?
Well, we haven't asked him about his acting days.
Oh, yes. Yes, we understand you're all over the ad scene, the telly scene.
Yeah, I believe you were debuted on the Super Bowl, if I'm correct. And I remember.
No, it was going to be a Super Bowl commercial.
We don't know the difference. Just say it was.
Yes, it was. So retireyourwrist.org contacted me to pitch a commercial. And the whole premises on the commercial was that I have a risky job diving with sharks, but I don't risk my retirement because I have an annuity. So I've had an annuity for about as long, about last 20 years. and continue to pay into it.
I can't even spell annuity.
Yeah, just go to retiredrisk.org, and you can punch in to see how your credit rating. They'll give you a number to see how well established you are for your retirement. So, like a credit rating, if you have a good number, you're ready to retire. If you have a low number, then you need to talk to your financial planner about how to make that number better so you can enjoy life.
I probably don't even want to know.
And that number is 888-555.
No, but it's funny. I've had two moments like this with James now where I hear him, and this commercial was one. I had the TV on, and at first it didn't really register, and then I'm going, I know that voice. And I look up and there's this guy falling into the water, and you know, I couldn't see your face at first, and I was like, oh my God, that's James. The other one was you did the story on NPR about the whale. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing. I turned it on. I was in the middle of it already, and I'm listening, and I was like, how do I know this voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your voice keeps coming into my head. So,
well, then there's that beautiful book called The Eye of the Whale. And she was the woman who did the illustrations on it. I forget. I don't have it in front of me.
Jennifer O'Connell.
Oh, how beautiful. And it's a much abbreviated, abridged version of the story, but the spirit of it is still there. And I think it's a wonderful gift for both adults and children to open up a conversation about exactly what we were talking about today, and emotional connection and connection between species. And it's just a beautiful story. Anything else we should be aware of?
And James got a free copy for everybody that's listening.
Everybody who does a trip to Guadalupe will get a free book. Yeah.
Everybody who signs up for our podcast, which you can find anywhere on Apple, Stitcher, Google. Now you can say, Alexa, play Passports, Please podcast, and you will hear our voices. So with that, we do want to thank you again so much. It's just such a beautiful story. You tell it so well, and look forward to hearing about more of your adventures. I love the website happywhale.com. I might have to look at that occasionally to cheer me up.
Yeah, when you go find James, you got to spell the last name right.
Yes. Are we going to give it away? Well, we should, because people might.
MOSKITO. Uh-huh. It's my last name. You can just Google me, James Mosquito, MOSKITO. It's a K instead of a QU. Uh-huh. Or go to oceansafaris.com. Check out what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out for a trip.
Yeah. Sign up for a trip.
We'll need to get you a chick. You need to get out to Guadalupe and stare down the shark. Or vice versa.
I'm freaking out in place as we speak, but I trust Rodney. Yeah, so
I think she's good with just looking at the photos.
I'd go there, but I'd more likely go to a spa.
But they do, they do have great food and booze.
Okay,
so.
I'm in, and you can say I did the other thing.
we had the best margarita in Mexico. Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite philosophies of life is let's not say we did, you know. So, but we do want to thank you. We are going to say. Thank you for giving
You're
us your time and your heart. And we would be remiss if we do not thank a few other people. Mr. Glenn Brock Thomas. No, it's Brock Glenn Thomas. I always get his, you know, half the time. But
and I've never caught that.
I know.
But you do it all the time.
I do it all the time, and he doesn't seem to care. So it's Brock Glenn Thomas, are three beautiful names, who is our engineer and our producer, who keeps us way out of more trouble than we get in. We also want to thank Rupert Neve Design for some of our fabulous studio equipment. And we want to thank Donovan Frankenreiter, who has provided our intro music and our outro music. And remember, good things of the heart, the mind, the spirit, and geography happen when you hear the words, Passports, Please. Until next time.